the Lord goes before us. Amen. Okay, Nita, we are ready for you, please.
Welcome, all of you who are with us tonight. Tonight is going to be a remarkable night. God has been so good, so faithful, hasn't he? When we look at the realm of impossibilities we had to pass through to fulfill our part in what God has just done, even in hindsight, it seems remarkable. But God guided, he strengthened, his grace was there, his wisdom was there. And look where we are. Tonight is just remarkable. I keep thinking about these babies. I just can't get them off my mind. And every time I do, I just smile so big. My heart is so warmed. I'm so thankful for what the Lord has done. And I know you are too. So thankful. So thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for believing with us. Thank you for standing with the babies and with America. If we had not stood with the babies, the Lord would not have thought to stand with America. So it is a most wonderful exchange because we have joy on both sides. Tonight, we're not really going to have a teaching per se. What we are going to do is we're going to proclaim the blessings of the Lord. We're going to proclaim the fear of the Lord. We're going to proclaim what we need to do to start out tonight's message or tonight's prayer ministry. There are certain things God requires of us as intercessors. Things that he wants us to look at always in conjunction with prayer, and to know what he himself looks upon. So I'm going to share just a couple of paragraphs of that. Then I'm going to turn things over to Ricky because she has seen some very profound things. You know, if a person is going to be a prophet or prophetess of stature, God will start them out prophesying very young. Ricky, I think she wasn't more than 3 years of age before she started giving words of the Lord. Her daughter Tiffany has done the same thing. Connor, the same thing. Casey started a little bit later, but not much. So he starts them young. I don't know if it's necessary to attune their ear that young if they're going to be used in greater ways in that gift. All I know is what he does. So I grew up under a mother and a grandmother who were both prophetesses. Then the gift fell to me. I might be the least of all of them, in all honesty. And through me to Ricky. So I've asked her to share some of the things that she has seen because it fits so beautifully into what we're going to do tonight. It is going to look a little different, but it's going to be very effective. I don't know about you, but don't you just want to jump and shout? Don't you just want to tell your heart, settle down? No, don't settle down. Get happier. No, settle down. No, don't settle down. I mean, you go back and forth because we're so elated, so excited about what our Savior has done. So I want to take about 60 seconds, turn it off, mute, let everyone just start praising Him for about a minute with all your heart. Can we do that? Who's in control of that, John?
Charles is on the board, so go ahead, Charles.
Thank you. I know we could have done that for another 10 or 15 minutes, couldn't we? It was wonderful. You sounded wonderful. I think we joined the chorus of heaven on that one. I didn't tell anyone I was going to do that. It just came so overwhelmingly to me just now that I just had to do it. I wanted to do it. I wanted to obey what was going on in my heart. We sure love you all. We love you so much. Thank you for standing for the babies. And thank you for standing for this nation. Thank you for standing for the heart of Jesus and the heart of our precious Lord God. Okay, let me share these couple things, and then I'm going to share, turn it over to Ricky while I learn how to talk. And then let her do what the Lord has put upon her heart, and then she'll pass the baton back to me. There's little else that is more important in the life of an intercessor, really in the life of a Christian, but few abide by it. But if you're going to be an intercessor, or if you're going to be part of the ministry government, this is just so important. And for tonight, it's going to be a little more important than usual. And that is that we walk in the fear of the Lord. The Lord said, divisions are coming. He looked out over the hills. For those who embrace the fear of the Lord and follow His precepts, His golden goodness will pour upon them. But for those who do not embrace the fear of the Lord, who scorn his precepts or mock his ways. That which they already have will be taken from them. God is not mocked. In the ways of the flesh are not condoned. For those who embrace his precepts, he will open every door to his storehouse. No good thing will he withhold. They will swim, they will float on the fat of the land. They will stride from mountaintop to mountaintop, measuring off their inheritance and celebrating his ever-present nearness. He will take these aloft. They will sit with his son and sup with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He will bring together those who fear his name, and they will have fellowship in him. Those who are swindlers and liars also will find each other, and their fellowship will be with their father. Those who love themselves more than they fear the Lord, now that encompasses a lot of Christians, folks. He said, and their fellowship will be, and those who love themselves more than they fear the Lord will have their old nature as their companion. Fretting, self-righteousness will be their reward. They will face closed doors to God's glory at every turn. Grace will slam its door in their faces. The wall between them and God's goodness will be too high to climb. And they will spend their days searching for God as a blind man gropes in a foreign land. But for those who hold to his ways and fear his name, a canopy of goodness will be their shelter. A canopy of glory will be their home. Not even a toe will poke its way from beneath the mercy and loving kindness of the Lord. He tilted his head back as if to proclaim this over the hills. What is the catchword? What is the key here? Humbling yourself in the fear of the Lord. As we share tonight, we're not here to boast about ourselves. Oh boy, we sure don't want to do that. We working together, that is you and us, working together as one. God called us together that we could take part in a miracle, that we could look at the beauty and the glory of God, stand in awe of his mercy, and humbly bow before him in the fear of the Lord, not touching his glory, not taking his glory, not thinking of ourselves better than we ought, but letting our heart arise into pure adoration of the Son of God, who gave himself up to see God's heart satisfied. For he lived to satisfy our God. We still have a little bit to go over the next weeks until everything is solidified and God can run with his own vision and we can be before or be behind him. But everything we're going to do over the coming weeks is going to lend itself to God's victory. Why? Because he loves us. And because he loves us, we love him. Thank you for your participation. Ricky, go ahead, babe.
Thank you, Mom. That was really beautiful. I'm going to share a couple of dreams that I had, and then one, as I was going through my journal today, and I was reviewing some of the dreams and the visions and the words the Lord has given me, I'm going to share some more of those tomorrow on Roe versus Wade and the decision that was made and some things that are very important for us to press into as we pray at a state level. So please plan to join us tomorrow because I'm going to share that tomorrow. But tonight, I want to encourage you with something. The Lord told me in January 18th, he said the year 2022 would be the year of the catalyst. The enemy exposed himself and revealed himself in 21, but in 22, the Lord is going to thrust him through and through. And I believe we saw that with Roe versus Wade. The first 6 months will seem as you're in the fire, a breakthrough in March, and then back into the fire. And June will see the sunlight as this nation has not seen in decades. And Mom and I have spoken so many times since that decision came out on the 24th, which incidentally is my daughter's birthday, on how the skies are brighter. The sunlight has come out. And we give thanks to the Lord for that. So I'm going to share a couple more things about Roe versus Wade and stuff at a state level so that we can pray effectively as we tackle this in the days ahead tomorrow night. But I wanted to encourage you guys with that, how exciting that was. I didn't even get a chance to share that with my mom because I read it just before we came in. At the end of March, March 25th, I had a dream. And in that dream, there was such a severe food shortage. And as we have moved into prayer, parts of this dream have been shared by people that are going to pray about this issue. But we moved into prayer, in March 25th, I had a dream that the nation had been thrust into basically it looked like the Depression, the Great Depression. And I don't believe, and Mom has shared this as well, we're going to be thrust into that severity. And this is why, because in the dream, people were waiting in long lines for a small morsel of food. Everything was a blue-gray scale, so it just gave that real, Great Depression feel to it. And I said, Lord, how can this be? And he said, if my people had prayed, if they only had prayed. And so that tells me that what the enemy has planned, God is going to intervene if we'll pray. That was the key. The second dream I had was like that, and we were in a crisis situation. It was just a few days later. We were in a crisis situation with the economy and with food supply. And mostly the key on this one was the food supply, because everything that I saw involved shipping crates. And there were, as I the Lord pulled me up over the nation in this dream. He pulled me up over the nation, and I saw these little spots around the country where there was a light, a soft glow of light. And as he took me back down and put me in where my station was for distribution is what I saw, someone came up to me, they had a basket held out, and in that, and they shared the need. I don't know what the need was because I wasn't given to know that information. I just know that they shared the need, we prayed, and then a crate appeared next to me. I unloaded the contents of the crate into their basket. And then as they went to go home, there was a soft glow over the basket. And I could see, because the Lord pulled me back up, and I could see them as they traveled back home. And the light, and I believe that's the light of the Lord, that's the light of his promise, the fulfillment of his promise. But the key was, when they came up, they shared the need, and we prayed. And that need was instantly met by a crate of food. The third dream that I had, and this dream was... I can't remember the exact date of this dream. I think it was a little bit further back. Yep, this was all the way back in February. I had a dream, and I saw this this vacant lot, except there were shipping containers, like what they have on the boats. There were shipping containers put on these lots. The grass had grown up around the container. It was maybe knee high around the container, and spiderwebs, cobwebs had grown from the containers to the ground. There was a perimeter, a fence put around the containers, and there were armed guards at every entrance point. And I saw many of these located around the country. And I don't feel that that was just our country. I feel that that was worldwide. And as I prayed over this, and as I've talked to Mom about this, because the concern has been so great, and she felt this real pressing from the Lord that people needed to prepare and perhaps stock up for the summer, that it would be a difficult time and for the next few months. I reminded her of the dreams that I had, and as we discussed it, she kept saying, "What was it the Lord told you?" If we had prayed, if my people had prayed. So as we undertake, we have several prayer points tonight that are going to target the food supply, the fuel, because that is part of this, you know, with what's taken place with Russia, Ukraine, and China. One of the main ingredients for the diesel fuel, and that is to reduce exhaust, and one of the main ingredients used in fertilizer, that is produced. Russia is a major exporter of that, and then China produces 30% of what the world uses in that. And that ingredient, which I just wrote down, there it is. It's urea, U-R-E-A, and it's used in DEF, which enables diesel fuel to run cleaner, and it's used in fertilizer. So we need to pray for the release of that, because that's what's going to impact the growth of food. We're going to pray about the harvest coming in, that God will multiply that and give the farmers the freedom to plant their crops, and that God will bless their crops and multiply them in spite of any restrictions that are out there in terms of water or fertilizer. We're going to pray that God is going to expose the crates and their location and those that are hiding them. I'm going to share one last dream that I had. In this dream, I saw a curtain, and you know, I hope no one's offended by this, but really the name of this dream, this is what the Lord said, it's the Wizard of Oz. I said, what? In this dream, the curtain was pulled back. And those of you that have seen that movie, I mean, I watched it as a little girl. You know, it came on every year. But when they, at the end of it, you know, they pull the curtain back and they find that the Wizard of Oz, the big bad Wizard of Oz, the one who could resolve all of their problems, he was actually just a man behind a curtain who used fear tactics to manipulate and control the population of Oz. In this dream, I saw that curtain flung wide open, and I saw the man behind the curtain. And in front of him was a computer screen, and there was all kinds of controls on this board. And the Lord said, I am about to expose him. And so I believe everything that we're going through right now, with our food shortages, everything that we're going through with the fuel, everything that they're doing to really further their plans of depopulation, to be honest, is being controlled by somebody that's about to be exposed front and center. And so we need to also be praying into those that are controlling and the food supply, those that are controlling the release of products necessary for our farmers to grow, and, of course, the fuel. And I think that that's all that Mom wanted me to share tonight. So I want to thank you for praying with us on these issues. They're very critical issues, but as the Lord said, if my people had only prayed. And so we, his people, are going to pray. So, thank you. Mom.
Okay, thank you, sweetheart. I might call on you again a little bit. I think there was another one that you were going to share. But if you remember it, just let Ely know, so that she can flag me and I can just slow down and let you share it.
Okay.
Okay, these are some of Satan's strategic plans. A new one world church. We all knew that was coming. I believe it is already in process. And we're going to talk about that literally in about a minute. Powerful outpourings of spirits such as pride, lust of the eyes, and lust of the flesh. Now, many years ago, I literally experienced this myself, and how these spirits would be sent out to people of every race, every kindred, every tongue, Christians and non-Christians. The closer you walk with the Lord, the more you're going to be protected, and I hope you'll understand why in a moment. The further you walk from the Lord, the less the protection, because of a truth, you're not even going to know you've been hit by these things. Everyone has pride. Everyone has the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh to varying degrees. Unless this, like, triage, if you will, of vices is really heavily under control and the spirits behind it have been cast out, or should I say the sinful nature that is behind these three vices has been cast out of your soul, which that doesn't happen until you are ready for union. Just before you are taken into union, and I want to tell you, I want to remind you, I'm walking in union. I know the path to get there. When you have walked the path for 40 years, no one's going to, or 30 years, no one's going to tell you anything different because you've been there, you've done it. But I will say that when you are ready to be taken into union, you need, that is, union of any caliber. Now, if you're in the very initial stages of union, that might not be necessary. But if you go into any degree of union, and I'm walking in the fullness of union, you have to have these things removed. The sinful nature has to be eradicated. So he will do that for you. Once something like that has happened, a spirit could come by you and literally just blow ever so gently the spirit of pride, the essence of pride. And because that has been so diluted in your life, just the simplest breath would be unbearable to you, and you would know it in a minute. But if you have not had that kind of work done, you could be walking in pride and not even know it. Someone could even say to you, getting a little prideful there, you want to be careful, and you wouldn't see it. You would only be offended by the person who's trying to warn you. So this is very, very important. Write it down. Keep your mind focused on that from time to time. And continue to ask God to do a work in you to protect you from that. They're going to take us to food shortages, which is what Ricky just opened up for us. They've got the food, folks. I think probably most everyone on the line knows that. But they want to make sure we don't get it. Fuel shortages, they've got that. They've got the fuel. But again, they're not too interested in us getting it for a season. But something I haven't heard anyone talk about, not even on our team, and is a relatively new revelation to me, and that is that there is coming a great confusion of voices in the media. They will literally be constantly contradicting each other and not even realize that they've done it. All the media that is not Christian media, they all get their information from Reuters. So they get it from a single source, by and large, to keep down the disinformation from their narrative. Not disinformation from truth, but from their narrative. But it's going to be like that never existed. And the confusion of voice from the media is going to be phenomenal. My heart hurts for the public that has depended on the media voice because they're not going to be able to depend on it, at least not for a while, maybe never again. Persecution, we've talked about here and there, martial law, and they want to provoke an economic crash. Someone said that we're going into a crash equal to the 30s depression. I've told our team that's not true. That is what the elite would do if they could possibly get away with it. But because of our work and our obedience, God has been able to remove everything that they would have used to accomplish that. And the worst that we're going to get is a recession. Now that can be tough, but it's not going to be anywhere near as tough as things were going to be. And the Lord himself told me that this new news is going to come out of the fact that we have paid the price to walk in obedience to the Lord so that God can do what he needs to do to protect his church and to protect the nation. And one of the ultimate things was most definitely this abortion issue. I do believe we do have one more thing that needs to be conquered. And I'm seeking God fervently for an answer to what that is so we can hit very hard on it. Okay, so the first thing I mentioned to you was the One World Church, the new One World Church. I saw the Catholic Church collapse. Out of that collapse came the One World Church. And in its amoebic state, we're seeing something that is called the emergent church, which I happen to believe is the One World Church that the Lord is warning me over. Now, in 2003, I was in India with some friends who were Indian, of Indian descent. Both were prophets. The three of us were together talking when suddenly the angel of the Lord came in and began speaking to one of us. The other two knew that he was there, but the one who was given the collective information was just one person. And as he repeated what the angel was saying, I wrote down immediately, and I want to read it to you because this is coming. And in fact, I think all of us know it's already begun. So we were told the now broken city of spiritual Babylon will soon be raised up. The government of this repaired house will be as follows. Under the head, there will be three groups, each containing 13 members. The first group would be the most powerful group under the head. It will consist of 13 cultic world leaders such as the Dalai Lama. The second group, also containing 13 leaders, will consist of mature seer prophets from the stage of Christianity. Now, listen to that verbiage. The second group, also containing 13 leaders, will consist of mature, not baby, but mature seer prophets from the stage of Christianity. So mature prophets are going to side with this cult. And they will speak into the cult. Where did they come from? The Christian platform. The third group would be made up of a priestly order of workers, again coming from the Commonwealth of Christianity. Under these three governing groups will be 169 leaders of lesser degree. These will carry out the instruction of the head. Leaders who are ordained to be part of the top echelon of the new true church government will by and large be approached by the satanic kingdom in hopes of gaining their allegiance with the new Babylonian Empire. Now remember, these words were given word for word by the angel of the Lord, a very large angel, very powerful, high authority angel, and therefore straight from the Lord's mouth. Leaders who are ordained to be part of the top echelon of the new church government will by and large be approached by the satanic kingdom in hopes of gaining their allegiance with the new Babylonian Empire until their predetermined government is in its place. The new one world church. And heaven calls it the broken city of spiritual Babylon. Now, for Christians, you're going to look at these prophetic faces and say, this man is a Christian prophet. He would never lie to us. So we can believe him. But the fact of the matter is, and he will have a great following, 13 of them. But the fact of the matter is, he has sold his soul for a handful of cherries, if you will. He thinks, all 13 of them, they think that they are going to actually experience what is the word I would want? What would you call it when someone is a promotion? They think they are actually going to receive a promotion by making the step that they've made. Highly respected in the body of Christ, but their hearts are not pure. They're in it for themselves. It's very possible that these 13 prophets, even though they are beloved by the church, do not have a close, intimate walk with Jesus. They just use him for the gift. There are a lot of prophets in the body of Christ that do that, and new ones wanting to come up to do the same thing. You don't use God. You don't mock him. He's holy. You must learn to walk in the fear of the Lord. And if you don't, in these days, you will fall. And you will hurt a lot of people in your fall. You must purify your heart, keep your heart pure, walk as closely with Jesus Christ as a human being can walk. You must humble yourself, walk in humility. You must. If you don't, you will fall. So when these people start giving a false doctrine, don't shake your head and say, no, I can't be hearing right. They can't be saying what they're saying because they've always been pure. They've always loved the church. Don't do that. Listen to what your ears are hearing and know that what you're actually hearing is the truth of a heart that went bad before they ever entered into their prophetic calling. If you will do that, you'll stand back from their words, cling to Christ, and you will be untouched by this delusion that is going to sweep across the body of Christ. Now, as I said, I believe with all my heart that the emerging church is one of the first faces that we are seeing in this new one world church. And all the confusion of words, all the confusion of doctrines, all the confusion of actions, what is it that they proclaim. They don't believe in, by and large, they do not believe in the cross of Jesus Christ. They don't believe that the Bible is the infallible Word of God. There are about six things, and unfortunately, I did not bring those things out to the table. Maybe I can bring them out tomorrow night. That they claim... Okay, if she can find that real quick while I'm talking to you, then I'll share them with you. But there's about six or seven things that they believe that are absolutely contrary to pure doctrine. You may not know that this is true, because some of these even have on their websites that they believe the truth, and they'll tell you that they believe that Christ came in the flesh, God in the flesh, and bore the cross and was resurrected again. They'll tell you they believe that. You won't find until you are fully in the delusion what they really believe. So my brothers and sisters, tonight is an eye-opener, but I am pleading with you. We love you. We love you. I have walked through many things for God to purify my heart. I've given him permission for him to take me through the swamp to purify my heart so that he could teach me true doctrine straight from the lap of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it isn't in some cases so much that other people are in false doctrine, they're just in inadequate doctrine. But in some of these cases, it is outright false doctrine. Don't stay. Run from those who are giving you a different gospel, just as Paul of old told us to do, clear back in the first church. Run. Run from them. No matter how much you love your pastor, no matter how much you love the church that maybe you've been with for 20, 30, 40 years. Leave there if they cease to give right government and right doctrine. And you'll save your soul through it. So one of the things that I want to pray over is the emergent church and the one world church, which I believe to be one and the same. But I will also say they will have works, churches, cults, every conceivable thing from every line of supposed religious communities in their head and in the midst of the body of the One World Church. It will be an organization of cults and of churches from every kind of religion. Can you just get a mic and read it out? She's going to read it off of our computer screen.
Number one is their goal, among others, is to disintegrate faith in biblical absolute. Number two, dismiss Christ's atoning work on the cross. Number three, this is leading to the rejection of hell. Number four, the rejection that Jesus came, God in the flesh. Number five, undermines the authority of God's word. And number six, they encouraged the rise of occultic mysticism.
Okay, honey. Now, read it again, but go a little slower.
Okay.
And be very clear with your words.
Okay. Number one.
Slower.
Their goal, among others, is to disintegrate faith in biblical absolute. Number two, dismiss Christ's atoning work on the cross. Number three, this is leading to the rejection of hell. Number four, rejection that Jesus came, God in the flesh. Number five, undermines the authority of God's word. And number six, they encourage the rise of occultic mysticism.
Now on this, is it number five about God's word?
Yeah.
Okay, one of the things that they will literally say to you is that the doctrines concerning the Bible are no longer adequate for today's people. The Bible is not infallible. There are many mistakes in it. This is what they will say. It is not the very foundation upon which truth can be built because it's fallible. And if it doesn't align with the needs of today's population, then it is not what they would consider to be a truth worth accepting. So reject it. So you know how Pilate cried out in front of Jesus, "What is truth?" Think about that for a moment. Can you imagine as a Christian walking in a time in history where the church has lost its belief that when all else fails, the Bible is the infallible Word of God, therefore truth? You're not allowed to believe that anymore because it's not true. This is the doctrine of the emergent church. I really want to encourage you to get away from that. Just get away from them. And if you can't find anything on the internet that says the things that I'm saying to you are true, just keep looking. Because I really had to do digging to find that myself. But it is what is happening. It's what is happening behind closed doors. And when you least expect it, it is going to slap you in the face so hard you will be numbed by the power of it. Now put that together with that what is being released against you by Satan himself are spirits of pride, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, that make it impossible for you to restrain your own love of sin. When you're confronted with the truth that they will be trying so hard to bury, you're not going to be able to fight it. Because pride will be so great, you're not teachable anymore. anyone that is not teachable, stay away from. I can't say it strong enough. They're headed for trouble. If they're not teachable, they're not reachable by the Spirit of God. Stay away from them. You can pray for them in your bedroom. You can love them, but do not receive their words. They're deluded. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh. They've got to be out spending money all the time on the things that their eyes lust for. There is a love, a virtual love of ownership, materialism, of the lust for power, the lust for money. If you've been refined in these areas, you don't want to associate with people like that anyway because it grieves your heart so much. But if you haven't, just know where it's headed. And you've got a decision to make. If this person is a family member, pray for them like you've never prayed for them before. Love them. But don't take that challenge on yourself. Let God bring someone else in. Okay, so that's where we want to start tonight, is praying over religious purity and that God will keep the church strong in truth, bringing forth the true gospel of the Bible, and that the church will hold fast to it regardless of what they see, regardless of what they hear, and no matter how much they love those that get entangled with that movement, they will pull back and stay away from them till they repent.